Well, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good Wednesday evening, First Baptist Church, and to all of our friends who have joined in streaming on Facebook Live. Well, I hope that you've had a wonderful day. May the Lord bless you. I hope that you and yours are well and that you're encouraged these days. I'm back in my office. It's been a while since I've been here. And I'm enjoying my time here. And I'm also enjoying my time worshiping with God's people again, right here in the worship center, 9 o'clock and 11, 9 o'clock and 11. Join us this coming Sunday for all of our young families with preschoolers. We invite you to come back. We will have a careful, cleansed, prepared, secure a place for all of your five-year-olds down to bed babies. If you'd like to come join us for one of our worship services, come on back. There's plenty of room in the worship center and in the balcony, and we want you to have part with us in that. Keep an eye on the website and our announcements for other things as they start to come our way. Well, tonight I want to continue in talking to you about revival. On Wednesday nights, I'm going to focus more of my comments on personal revival. Revival I need in my life every day. Personal renewing and revival. On Sundays, I'll be speaking to the church about corporate revival. How we pray for the Holy Spirit of God to revive us as a people corporately together at First Baptist Church. I am praying in these days earnestly each day for awakening around the world in these troublesome, perilous times, that millions will be saved and turned to Jesus. I'm praying that the global church of the Lord Jesus will be revived and do its part in telling people about Jesus, and that includes First Baptist Church. That as we come back together, we will come back together as a changed, revived, renewed people so that we might see what God can do through us. Well, on this theme of reviving us again, tonight I want you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Psalm 119, the longest psalm in God's Word. And over the next few Wednesday nights, I'll be speaking to you from Psalm 119 about some elements of personal revival. Elements of personal revival. You see, every one of us need daily reviving, enlivening, quickening from the Holy Spirit, don't we? We feel struggling. We have a hard time. We don't know what to do. So tonight we go to Psalm 119, and I'd like for you to read tonight with me. I'll just read one verse as we begin tonight. But it comes in a tremendous section of Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. And the verse I want to focus on tonight as we consider personal revival is this. Psalm 119:37. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Let me read it again. Psalm 119:37. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Well, our focal truth tonight is this, that God can revive His people from empty, worldly distractions. Let me say it again. God, this is a part of personal revival, God can revive His people from empty, worldly distractions. Well, I want to begin by asking you some questions tonight. And I hope that these questions help you to focus your time and thinking with me in these days as we consider whether or not we need personal revival. First of all, I want to ask you this question. Are you living with a primary focus and desire for worldly things? Now, you have to be honest. You have to be honest with your heart and mind. Pretty much is your mind occupied with a desire for worldly things, worldly possessions, for money, for all of these things that come? Is that really where your heart's desire is tonight? Well, before I can have revival, I must understand the condition of my heart. So this question cuts right at this issue of whether or not I have a desire for worldly kinds of things. A second question is similar. What has been your heart's devotion? What are you devoted to in your heart? And devoted means you go back to it over and over again. You love it. You care about it. You focus on it. Heart devotion. What has been your heart's devotion? First question is, are you living with a desire for worldly things? Second question is, what has your heart's devotion been? What are you focused on? What are you devoted to in your heart? Is it the Lord? Is it the world? The things of your job? The other issues in your life? And then also this question, do you feel an emptiness in your spiritual life? Do you feel an emptiness in your spiritual life? Well, all three of these questions help us with what we're looking at here today in Psalm 119, verse 37, where David prays, "Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity." Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Such a simple, simple thing, but such an important matter for us to pray if we would have revival. You see, God can and will revive us from empty worldly distractions. And today, perhaps you are caught and trapped in worldliness again. You're living, and much more of your time is focused on the world and the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, than on the things of God and on the things of His Word. Well, I have several observations I'd like for you to look at from this passage before we have some things we can apply to our life and use in our daily living. First observation is this, that David has given us here a prayer for God to turn his eyes from looking at vain things. He prays and asks God to turn his eyes from looking at vain things. He says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity." Now, I read from the New American Standard, vanity. That's a word that we don't use often, but it's a good word. The Hebrew word for vanity has in it the idea of things that are empty, things that are worthless, useless, useless words, useless things, useless or empty lifestyles, empty things, empty worldly things, empty worldly thoughts, empty worldly words. These things become so important. Boy, we live for the Lord Jesus. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so if I'm going to be a revived person of God, if I'm going to experience personal spiritual revival, I have to deal with worldliness. And I have to ask God to help me with it. Let's think about this matter of our eyes. Let's talk about for a moment the power of the eye. You see, he says here in this prayer, "Turn away my eyes," your eyes. Oh, how powerful our eyes are. How they grasp so quickly things that pass our way. How the eye that God made, the physical, this organ of our body, amazing, the eye. But the eye is connected to our mind and it affects our emotions and our affections. What the eye sees is like a gate taking things into our mind and our will and our emotions. Turn away my eyes from these looking at these vain or empty things. Let's think about the power of the eye. You see, if you guard your eye, you guard your heart. The Lord Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. He's not talking about literally physically pulling your eye out. He is talking about killing sin in your spiritual life, determining by the help of God not to look on things that will bring you into spiritual emptiness and spiritual deadness. What are you looking at these days? What are your eyes focused on? The power of the eye. You see, looking leads to lusting. That's what happens. Looking leads to lusting. Looking leads to desiring. We lust for it. We look at it. We lust for it. We look at it. We desire it. We look at it intently. We look at it and we obsess for it. We look at it and then we desire to possess it. All of these things that we talk about, whether it's lusts of the flesh or lust of the eyes or some position or power or something else, all of these things. Oh, the power of your eye, what you look at, the power of your gaze, it affects your mind, it affects your desires, it affects your will. Well, I've got several examples for you of stories of those who did not turn away from, as David calls it here, looking at vanity. The most famous example is Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. Now notice, when the woman saw that the tree was good and that it was a delight and that it was desirable. That's what we're talking about, the power of the eye. You see it. You desire it. You long for it. You delight in it. These things that are in the world. So sin came because Eve and Adam looked at the fruit and they desired it and they took it and disobeyed God. That happens in our lives all the time when we look at vain things and don't turn away. The second example is from Abraham and Lot's experience together. Genesis 13:10, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that all the valley of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot, Abraham said, you can take whichever place you want, the desert lands or the green watered lands. And guess what? Lot looked up, saw the green, saw all the valley of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he took it. He took it. He chose to go the place that looked the best, but had the greatest wickedness. There's one other sad example of looking at things that lead to sin and vanity. We read this in 2 Samuel, verse number 11, 2 and verse number 4. David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof of the king's house he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. David sent messengers and took her. And when she came to him, he lay with her. Oh, David says to us tonight, church, something we must all, this applies to all of us. This applies to every last one of us. You senior adults, you young adults, you median age, you teenagers, all of you, boys and girls, be careful what you look at. Watch your eyes. Guard your eyes. The power of the eye leads to lust, as I've said, leads to desire and longing for it, obsession with it, and a possessing of it. And many, many of us have fallen into sin because we have not guarded our eyes. We have not made an agreement with God by His power to help us to turn away from looking at empty, vain things. What is there in the world but emptiness? When you get behind the beauty, when you get behind all the allurement and the possessions, once you discover it, there's not much there. There's not much really in vanity. So the first observation is that David prays for God to turn his eyes from looking at vain things. The second observation is that as he is praying, He has a confidence that God will divert his eyes from looking at vain things. First, he prays that God will turn his eyes from looking at vain things. And then David, in his faith in prayer, has confidence, I believe, that God will divert his eyes from looking at vain things. Oh, that's what we all need. You see, he says, revive me. First, turn my eyes from looking at vain things. Secondly, revive me. That's his confidence. Revive me. Revive me. Divert my eyes away from these shiny things, these people who appear to have everything together but are so vain and empty. There's nothing really there. These possessions that I think will make me happy. Turn my eyes, revive me. Turn my eyes and revive me. That's what he's praying here, that God would divert his eyes. Think about this for a minute. You see, when I have revival, revival turns my eyes from the attraction of the world and its pursuits. Revival, when I'm revived, it turns my eyes, it diverts my eyes from the attraction of the world. In Ecclesiastes 2:11, Solomon gives this testimony. I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. There was no attractiveness in it all. In fact, he opens the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 1, vanity, vanity. All things are vanity. You see, under the sun in this world, friends, this is all vanity. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our minds must be focused and our desires set on things above and on the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in Him. There's nothing here. There's nothing here that will give you spiritual strength. And so when we pray, revive me, turn my eyes away from these vain things, these empty things in the world, first of all, I experience this beautiful picture of how God shows me there's an unattractiveness, there's an emptiness in all these things in the world. Also, revival opens my eyes and shows me this emptiness in a way that I can understand. I begin to see that all of these things the world talks about as so great are empty. When I've tried them, when I've done them, I have no satisfaction in my life. That's what vanity is. That's the vanity of vanities. You see, when I'm revived, the attractiveness of vain things goes away, and the emptiness of them are revealed to me. Also, when I experience revival, God refocuses my eyes on God. Psalm 141:8 says, "For my eyes are toward you, O God, our Lord." Now, you can't look at God and see Him physically. This is a beautiful, beautiful metaphor of our eyes being our mind, our faith. We set our minds on things above. We think about, we look to God with our mind by faith. We look to Him. We don't look at all of these things around us that seem so like Lot. There's this green, lush land. But those who lived in that green, lush land, beautiful green land, it was Sodom and Gomorrah, the greatest place of wickedness on the earth. So the first observation is a prayer that God can turn our eyes from looking at vain things. The second is a confidence that God can divert our eyes from looking at vain things. And then final observation from these words in Psalm 119:37 is this. It is a desire in this prayer for God to revive him, listen, in the ways of God. You see, revival shows me the unattractiveness of the world, the emptiness of the world and vain things, but revival comes in the ways of God. Revival comes in the ways of God. That's so important for us to know. Revival comes in the ways of God, my friend. Think about that tonight. Revive me in your ways, he says. Well, just a couple of things to think about. We're blessed to live on this side of the cross the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes within us, fills us in our minds, affects our emotions, gives us, we're a new person in Christ. We have a new nature. Well, with that in mind, think about these ways of God. How am I revived? Well, the Holy Spirit guides me into God's truth. In the ways of God, I have a guide. In the ways of following God, in the ways of looking to God rather than the world, I have a guide. It's the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said, John 16:13, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all truth. He'll show you the falsehood. He'll show you the emptiness. He'll show you the counterfeits of the world so that you can see the genuine things. You see, we're revived in the ways of God, and the Holy Spirit is our guide in the ways of God. The Lord Jesus is the way. That's the way we come. He's the narrow gate. He's the narrow way. You must enter God's way, the narrow way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we experience revival and renewal. Regular revival and renewal come because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. The Lord said, John 14:6, you know it, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. A way with the truth that gives me life. That's reviving life. That's what we have in coming through the narrow gate and walking on the narrow way of the Lord. You see, we don't go off anymore toward the world's ways. We don't do that. We've finally seen the emptiness of it, the sham of it, the counterfeit nature of the world. We don't want to look at those things anymore when we're revived. We look to the Lord. We focus on the Lord, solely on Him. You see, the Holy Spirit not only guides us, the Lord Jesus is not only the way into the way of God and is the way Himself, but the Holy Spirit also empowers us for living for God. Listen to this. He empowers us for living for God. This is the ways of God. There is power in the ways of God that keep us from worldly looking and desiring things in this world. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. What a great, great verse. Think about it. Because of the power of God, I am revived in the ways of God. And what are the ways of God? As I come to Him by faith, He gives me greater power to turn away from the world and its attractions. One other thing, we fix our attention on Jesus. You see, God's way is for us to fix our attention on Jesus. And as He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, we focus our attentions on the Lord Jesus. What are you focused on today? You still listening to all the distracting news out there you can't do anything about? You see, God's at work. Only God can do things about all these troubles and dread and fear and problems that are going on around us, all around us. Only God can solve that. Man can't solve it. It's vanity and emptiness for man to think he can solve it. And the reality is here that we must fix our eyes on Jesus. That's what Paul said in the book of Hebrews when he was encouraging those Christians, as I am today to you, to endure. How do I endure in hard times? I endure, Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So David says, Psalm 119:37, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Well, let me give you just a couple of things I want you to remember from what these observations teach us. First of all, you know, when you delight in vain things, it only corrupts your heart. Did you know that, my friend? When you delight in vain things, it only further corrupts your old heart. Jeremiah 4:14 says, how long will your vain thoughts lodge within you? How long will your vain thoughts lodge within you today? How long? How long will you allow those vain, empty, useless thoughts of the world and its ways to lodge in your thoughts. You see, delighting in vain things causes corruption of the heart. Secondly, desiring vain things makes you vain. You grow in vanity, not in godliness, the more you desire vain things. Are you going down the path of desiring vain things? You're more worried about what you look like on the outside than the condition and what you look like on the inside? Is that what you're worried about? You're worried about what you're wearing rather than having on you being clothed with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, 2 Kings 17:15, they followed vanity and became vain. That's what happened to Israel. They followed vanity and became vain. You wonder why your prayer life's in the shape it's in, or you lack it. You wonder why you become such a vain and empty person. Because you've been following vanity. You've been desiring it. And so when you desire vain things, it makes you vain. Vain things, thirdly, promise much, but they don't give you anything. Promising things. Oh, vain things promise you so much. Vain things promise much, but give nothing. Here's what Paul said in Romans 6:21. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. Let me ask you, what real value have you ever gotten from the world? What real value did you ever get in living a vain, sinful life or going back to carnality in your Christian life? It just leads to misery and emptiness and sadness and regret. So you see, vain living is also empty living. Vain things promise much, but they don't give anything. And vain living is empty living. Psalm 37:20, the wicked will perish and they will vanish like smoke. Nothing left, no substance. Nothing of their life matters. Only the things we do for God will last. Did you know that? All this other doesn't matter. It rusts. It corrodes. And thieves steal it. That's what's in this world. So delighting in vain things causes corruption in our heart. Desiring vain things makes you vain. Vain things promise much, but give us nothing in return. Vain living is empty living. But God's power, good news, God's power turns us from vain things. In the preaching of the gospel in Acts 14:15, Paul said, you should turn from those vain things to a living God. My friend, oh, Christian friend, surely you don't have to hear today. Turn from the vain things you've started to follow again. Turn from these vain things and turn back to the living God. Finally, one other thing to remember, reviving life follows God's ways, not worldly ways. Reviving life follows God's ways, not worldly ways. Acts 26:18, we read, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. To open their eyes, to turn from darkness to light, to turn from Satan to God. David prays, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. Well, I've got a couple of things for you for daily use. So how do we use this today? We've thought about some things to remember. We've looked at some observations from David. So what do I do? What do I do? Well, this is going to be hard now, but I'm your pastor. I love you in Jesus. I have to do the same things. I have to pray the same prayer. Here's the first thing I would say to you in daily use. Admit that you are powerless to the attraction of vain things. Admit that you have no power to control vain things that you look at. That's the first step to revival. Admit that you have no power to overcome the attractiveness of vain things. Tell God that. Secondly, ask God to reveal to you the emptiness of vain things. Lord, show me the emptiness of this world. Show me the emptiness of these promises. Show me the emptiness and the vanity and the silliness of these who run around confident in the world's ability to change things and to give peace. Third, allow the Holy Spirit to turn your desires away from vain things. Let the Holy Spirit of God work when you when you admit that you need God's help, when you ask for it, then submit to the Holy Spirit's work in your life. Just be still. Allow the Lord to do what He's going to do, to turn your desires. As David said, turn my eyes away from these vain things. And finally, follow the Holy Spirit. Follow His lead. Follow His direction through your reading of the Word of God. Pay attention to His direction in your life. Follow the Holy Spirit and you will avoid the vain things of this world. Well, personal revival comes. Personal revival comes to God's people from empty worldly distractions when we pray, "Oh God, revive us again." Heavenly Father, I thank You for the Word of God today. I thank You for this opportunity we have to be together. How I pray that You would bless my friends tonight. May the Word of God find a place in our minds. May we be good hearers of the Word tonight. Help us, Lord, to turn our eyes away from empty worldly distractions. And may we focus our joy, our faith, our hope, our love upon You. Thank You for all You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a need, if you have a prayer request, please call us. Let us know in these days. We look forward to you being with us on Sunday. I'm excited that you're coming, and I look forward to it. And may the Lord bless you. Have a great evening.